I love you. We had an awesome time yesterday. I'm telling you, thank you, church. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your giving. We couldn't go and take these kids places like that if it wasn't for you. And I appreciate that. I want you to know that. We had a great time. A lot of water. Lots of water. One thing though, I went down that tube. I got up there to the highest place. I said, I'm going down this tube. I don't know what's in this tube. There's water in that tube, and it looks dark in that tube. I'm going anyway. You know why? Because a lot of the church was standing down at the bottom waiting for me. And I got up there, my heart started beating, boom, 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 boom. And I saw these little kids just jumping in that thing and riding down that thing. But you know, the thing about it, I got stuck. I got stuck in that tube. And I was just laying there, Danny, don't you laugh, you got stuck too. And the water, it just kind of quit right there in one place, and I just boom, and I had to go. Had to get myself going. Finally, I come out, ended up at the bottom, and no one helped me get out of that thing. It was worse than a bathtub, you know, getting out of that thing. But I got out, made it, and we had a good time. Then we church. Had a great time. Oh, yeah. Yeah, everything's on video. I don't care who you are. If you were there yesterday, you are on video. You have pictures going out on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. It's all over. All over the place. Not really. But anyway, we had fun. And again, let me thank you for allowing us to go. And I truly love you. And appreciate you so much. If you have your Bible this morning, turn to the book of Job. Job is the oldest book in Scripture. You would think Genesis, because it's the first book of the Bible, you'd think, well, Genesis is the oldest book. It's not. The book of Job is the oldest book of the Bible. And you know as well as I do about Job, the sorrow that he went through. He lost 10 children, lost his health, lost all of his wealth. He even lost his wife. He divorced him. Theologians say when she said, Job, you're pathetic. Sitting there in those ashes and you got boils from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet and you look so pathetic. Why don't you just curse God and die? And theologians say that she divorced him. But that wasn't the end of Job. The Bible says he didn't curse God. He did not curse God. He cursed the day he was born. He was hurting so bad, he cursed the day he was born, but he didn't curse God. He stood up and praised God. He said, the Lord giveth. Can you imagine him saying that over 10 caskets, 10 children being buried at one time? Can you imagine Job in his brokenness looks up to heaven and says, the Lord gives, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's faith, isn't it? But I notice in chapter 14 of Job, Job asked two questions. He asked two questions. He said, Lord, if a man dies, where is he? If a man dies, where is he? And he also said, Lord, if a man dies, will he live again? If a man dies, will he live again? Well, Jesus answered those questions in Luke chapter 16. I want you to see these verses in Job first, and then we'll turn to Luke chapter 16 and see Jesus as he answers these questions. You can stand with me. We're going to read a couple of verses. Stand with me in honor of God's holy, infallible, inerrant word of God. And look at it. Let me point out a couple other verses. Job chapter 14, verse 1. Look at this. Man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. That's all of us. Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Look at verse 4 in this scripture. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Not one human being. Not one of us. No one can bring a clean thing out of an unclean. Only Jesus can do that. But look at verse 10 of chapter 14. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Where is he? But look at verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Be seated. You can turn to Luke chapter 16 and you'll find the answer to these two questions from Jesus. I never want to preach a sermon on hell without a broken heart. Jesus talks to a man, about a man. He talks about two men that died, two men that were buried, two men, one went to heaven and one went to hell. I never want to preach about hell without a broken heart. I never want to preach about hell without tears in my eyes. God is not willing that any should perish, but all must come to repentance. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, the answer of Job's question, if a man dies, where is he? If a man dies, will he live again? Well, look at the answer that Jesus gives to those questions. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. In verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Two men, two deaths, two burials. In verse 23, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. In verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my house, my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses, they have the prophets, let them hear them. In verse 30, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses, if they hear not the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That is the most powerful scripture that I could read to you this morning, because you hear very little preaching about hell nowadays. There's three things in this scripture that I see that's in hell that ought to be in every church. There's three things in hell we're going to be looking at that. I want you to look at verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Well, the Bible says on one side of hell there's paradise. On the other side is Hades, or hell itself. You see, when a person died back then, before the resurrection of Jesus, that person that was a believer went to paradise. People that were lost, they went to hell. They went to Hades. And the Bible says, before the resurrection, here is a man that died, he was lost, and the Bible says, and in hell, he was in torment. In verse 23, look at this. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. You see, in verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Look up here, there's no water in hell. No water to drink. No water to quench our thirst in hell. Not even a drop of water. Listen to me. I remember in our psychology class years ago when I was a junior in Greenville High Sundays at Greenville High School, we our psychology class went to Hopkinsville, to the mental institution. And it broke my heart to see people sick like that. Even then, I wasn't a preacher and I wasn't a Christian, but I had compassion on them. They were so sick. But they took us up to the sixth floor. And on that sixth floor, they said, now these people are the worst. And as we went up the stairway to the sixth floor, I heard somebody saying, I want a drink of water. I want a drink of water. Please give me a drink of water. I want a drink of water. She was begging for a drink of water, and I remember going over to her, and she was sitting or standing actually in the seat. She was stooping down in that seat and just crying, give me a drink of water. Give me a drink of water. It troubled me so much, I went and got some help. I said, somebody please give her a drink of water. She's wanting a drink of water. And they came and said, you know, she says that all day. She says that all night when she's awake. That's in her mind. We give her water, but she doesn't want it. She thinks she wants a drink, but she really doesn't want a drink. That played an input. That put something in my mind. It just tears my heart out because people in hell, they're saying, I want a drink of water. I want a drink of water. Please, somebody, just dip their finger in water and touch my tongue. Touch my tongue. You see, in this scripture, they just wanted to drink a drop of water. In hell, listen to me. In hell, there is no water. No water. No water to quench a thirst. But in look in verse 25. Verse 25, the Bible says, but Abraham said unto him, remember. You see that word? Remember. If people, listen, don't get saved, if they don't listen to the preacher, if they don't listen to the ones that are trying to get them saved, if they don't accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, one day they will remember every person, every service, every invitation, every tract, every prayer that the person had prayed for them. I want a drink of water. They remember. But look at verse 26. Verse 26, the Bible says, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed so that, look at this, folks. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then in verse 27, he said, I pray thee. Did you know there's prayer going on in hell right now? There could be more prayer going on in hell than in the average Baptist church. Prayer is taking place in hell today. That ought to drive us to this altar. There's people that are hurting, people that are tormented, people that are in hell begging for a drop of water, and they're praying. But their prayers will never be heard. But they're praying. You see, there's three things in hell that should be in every church, and this is one of them: prayer. You want your family saved? Pray. Pray. Pray, get to this altar and pray and pray and pray. Pray at home. Pray in your closet. Pray and pray and pray and pray. There shouldn't be more prayer in hell than there is in the church. The second thing is this: there's a concern for the lost. Father Abraham, I have five brothers. Go to my brothers. Tell my brothers not to come into this place. I have more concern. There's more concern in hell than there is in the Baptist church today about the lost. Do you have brothers? Do you have family? Do you have daddies, mamas? Do you have children that are lost? You need to get to work. You need to be praying for those babies right now. I encourage you to pray for their salvation while they're in the womb. Amen. Getting saved doesn't just happen because you wish it would. Getting saved happens because you are concerned and because you pray and you are really wanting people to be saved. You see this? Prayer is in hell. Don't wait till you get to hell to pray. There was concern for the lost. And then number three, there's a misconception about hell in the church today. In verse 30 and 31, the Bible says, and he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not the preacher, if they hear not Moses, if they hear not the prophets, if they hear not the evangelists, if they will not hear the pastors, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. You see, there's a misconception about hell in our churches today. You see, we think everybody is going to heaven. Everybody's not going to heaven. There could be in this church today. You're not going to heaven. You could go. The Lord wants you to go. But you got to repent and be saved. There's a misconception throughout this country. Everybody's going to heaven. There shouldn't be a misconception about heaven and hell. But there is. Some of you today need to get born again. But you would tell me, well, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. I joined the church. I even got baptized. I'm not that bad. You'll never get saved until you see yourself bad. You'll never get saved until you see yourself lost without Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the one to do that. Your pastor loves you, cares for you, cries for you, prays for you. But I can't change you. Only the Holy Spirit of God can convict us. The Holy Spirit of God, He's the only one that can change us. There's a misconception in churches today. Yeah, everybody will end up in heaven. No, they won't. Jesus preached more about hell than He did heaven. Why? Because He doesn't want us to go. Listen to me. Listen for a minute. Hell must be horrible for it to take Jesus to die on the cross, innocent. It must be horrible for Him have to die on the cross to keep us out of that place. But that's what it took. It took Jesus dying on the cross and me believing in Him to keep me out of hell. You see, you must be born again. You say, Brother Roger, I don't really know what that means. Well, ask. I'll show you what it means to be born again. The Bible says there is but a step between me and death. A step. The Bible says in Isaiah 45 verse 22, look unto me. This is what God, you want to hear the heart of God? Listen to him. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Hell is the only reward for Satan's servants. But Brother Roger, I don't believe in hell. Listen to me. Not believing in hell doesn't lower the temperature down 1 degree. You can say, I don't believe in it all you want, but it doesn't change a thing. It doesn't lower the temperature. Someone said this, if I've never spoke of hell, I should think I had kept back something that was profitable and should look on myself as an accomplice of the devil. Amen? If I never preached about hell, if I never warned people about the hell fire, if I never preached it and cried over it, if I never did that, I should consider myself an accomplice of the devil. Listen to me. 2 Peter 2:4 says, God did not spare even the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the pits of darkness. And they're held for judgment. He didn't even spare the angels. Someone said the everlasting fire of hell was prepared for Satan and his angels. And that's true. Why is there a hell? I guarantee you, God didn't prepare it for man. He didn't create it for humans. The everlasting fire of hell was prepared for Satan and his angels. But you hear me well today. But when people joined the devil in rebellion and sin against God, they were condemned to share the punishment prepared for fallen angels. When humans rebel against God, humans aren't supposed to die and go to hell. They're supposed to be saved and go to heaven. But when people join themselves to the devil and serve him and live for him, Jesus said, if you're not for me, you are against me. You better think about what this preacher's preaching today. You can sit in a Baptist church for 50 years and not be saved and die and go to hell. You can do that. Listen. The Bible says in Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself. Think about that. Heaven is not enlarging herself to accommodate people. But hell, the Bible says in Isaiah 5 verse 14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. The Bible says in Isaiah 14:9, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Where is hell? It's under your feet, in the center of the earth. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Hell must be a horrible place for Jesus have to die to keep us out of there. I heard about a young man, listen to me, kids. I heard about a young man that grew up in a Christian home. He grew up, he graduated high school, went to college, graduated, and went to another city to work. His mama got him off to the side and said, "Son, listen to me, you're going out on your own. You're going to work. There's all kinds of people out there. There's all kinds of distractions out there in this world. Promise me that you will not forget church. Promise me that you will not forget God. Promise me." And this young man goes off. He gets his job and he does very well for a while. He finds a good Bible-believing church. He goes to church. And he's doing very well, but he meets some friends that they love to horse ride on the weekends. They love their horses. And they said, "Won't you go with us riding? Why don't you go?" And they kept on and kept on. "Won't you go?" And he said, I need to be in church. And finally, they wore him down. And he went. Rode their horses on Sunday. And he kept doing that for a time. Just kept doing it. That's the way it works, folks, I'm telling you. One time leads into a month. A month leads into a year. A year leads into several years. He's riding. Beautiful scenery, beautiful country. He rides down through a small trail into a beautiful little town. And he looks around, he sees a church. And it was church time. All of a sudden the bells of that church began to ring. But he kept riding. He kept riding, and he kept riding, and he kept riding. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and said, "You need to go back. You need to go back to that church." He looked at his friends and said, "I'm going back. I'm going back to the church while I can still hear the bells. There'll be a time, listen to me, there's a time when you may not hear the voice of God." Those bells just kept getting fainter as he rode. He said, "I'm going back. I'm going back while I can still hear those bells." Some of you today, can you hear the bells? Can you hear the voice of God pleading with you? Can you hear Jesus say in your soul, in your heart, "You better come to me. You need to come to me. You need to get saved. You need to follow me." One of these days you may not hear the bells. You see, hell is the most hated doctrine in the Bible. It's hated by people. It's hated by preachers. It's hated by churches. But it is a reality that will never change. Heaven or hell. That's it. Heaven is through Christ. Get saved. Some of you are just playing religion. You do what you want to do all the time. You know what you need to do. You need to commit yourself to the Lord. You need to commit yourself to this church. Some of you, I've been your pastor 4 years. And some of you were so committed at one time. Breaks my heart. Don't you hear God? Don't you hear Him pleading? Don't ever think that you can be saved and not follow Him. God never saved a man that He could not command. Never. Never. If He saves you, He will command you. If you can't handle that, that's up to you. There's people here today. Ah, hell is just a cuss word now. Oh, Brother Roger, the devil ain't real. Brother Roger, don't you know that everybody finally ends up in heaven? No, they don't. The Bible says hell enlarges herself every day to meet thee at thy coming. Listen to my heart today. If you're not saved, get saved. And if you get saved, follow the Lord. Don't you gamble with your soul. Eternity is too long to be wrong, I'm telling you. Maybe you need to come today. Maybe you need to come and pray. You've got 5 brothers. You got a mom or dad. You've got somebody in your family. They go to church, but they are not saved. Did you know the Bible says we are known? We are known. People know that we're saved because we love the brethren. If you don't have love and forgiveness, you need to get saved. Amen. If you hold a grudge, you just need to get saved. Amen. Come to Jesus. Repent. Just get saved. Born again. Before it's too late, I'm telling you. Listen to your preacher today. That's the only way. If they hear not Moses, the preacher, if they hear not the prophets, if even one walked in this church from the dead, they still wouldn't believe. What do you need to do today? The Bible says make your calling and election sure. The Bible says work out your own salvation. That doesn't mean you're working for your salvation. That means that you've got it settled in here. What do you need to do? Come to Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm begging you, while you can still hear those bells, why don't you stand with me? I don't enjoy preaching on hell. I don't enjoy it. I'd rather preach on heaven. I'd rather preach on something wonderful where you can shout, where you can raise your hands and praise the Lord and say amen, but I wouldn't be doing you any good if I didn't preach this message every now and then. I don't preach it every Sunday. Maybe I should. Somebody said that if there's more preaching from the pulpit about hell, there'd be less hell raised in the pew. Amen. There may be a lot of truth to that. But look up here. If you're saved, truly saved, you will never see the fire of hell. Never. Never. Jesus suffered that for you on the cross. When he cried out and said, I thirst. I thirst. He was suffering the torment of hell for us. He paid your sin debt. He said, it's finished. It's finished. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost and died. It's finished. All you got to do is take it. All you got to do is receive it. He's not going to put it in your hands. He'll make it available to every one of us. But he's not going to just throw it on you. You've got to receive it like a gift. If you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, I'm talking about Lord and Savior. You cannot have a Savior without him being Lord. They go together. Search it yourself. Look up the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Look, the Lord and Savior goes hand in hand. He's the Lord. That means he's the boss. Not me. Not you. He is. He'll never save a man. I'm going to say it again. He'll never save a man or a person that he cannot command. Amen. What was singing? You come. You come while you're still here. The voice of God in your heart.
I was a wandering soul.
You have people traveling
a well-worn road.
You have
sinners
friends
so far
that you never told about Jesus.
No second chance.
Don't die and let them go to hell.
I heard you call my name. I felt you lift my shame.
In the church,
I made
in your life, than they are in
hell. That I'd spend the rest of my life loving my Jesus.